have the power of the Iron Fist. If I can summon my chi, I can focus my energy into my hand, creating a powerful weapon.
Okay. That's a new one on me, but...
I am the Iron Fist.
I'm happy for you to convince me. Do you want to show me the Iron Fist? Let's see how it works.
Superhero fans, comic book connoisseurs, welcome one and all to Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. I'm your host, Joe Stuber, wrapping up my Terrificon trilogy this week, and I'm handing you a VIP pass, a front row seat to one of the coolest moments at Terrificon this year, that is for sure. Now, if you heard the first two parts of this series, you know how many amazing moments there were at Connecticut's coolest comic book convention. There were so many of them. Now, the final day of the show, I got the honor of closing things out with an action-packed Q&A featuring the stars of Game of Thrones, Marvel's Iron Fist, and the latest Marvel Netflix series, The Defenders, Finn Jones and Jessica Henwick. Now, The Defenders just premiered on Netflix the weekend of the convention, so we tried to steer clear of spoilers on that series. We did chat a little bit about it. Some in attendance had binge-watched it before the Q&A, so everybody was jazzed about it, but... most, including yours truly, had not had a chance to see it yet. As I mentioned, both Finn and Jessica appeared in the wildly successful Game of Thrones as well, so we chatted a bit about that series. But the focus, as you would guess, was on Iron Fist. Now, the character of Danny Rand, also known as Iron Fist, was created by writer Roy Thomas and artist Gil Kane. It was in Marvel Premiere Issue 15 back in 1974 at the height of the martial arts craze. Colleen Wing joined the series a few months later in issue 19. She was created by writer Doug Mensch and artist Larry Hama. By the way, Iron Fist creator Roy Thomas, he was there at Terrificon this year, so that was cool. Huge lines to see him all week long, as you would expect. Now, speaking of Iron Fist, there have been animated versions of the character. In fact, if you caught my recent interview with actor Lauren Lester, we talked about his time voicing the character, but we've never seen a live-action version of Iron Fist until this year. Back in March, Iron Fist became the latest Marvel character on the Netflix scene, joining Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage.
Hi, I'm Danny Rand. I've been away a long time.
Let's go, belong here.
I'm Danny Rand. Guys, I just want to talk. Welcome to Rand Enterprises. I left here 10 years old in a jet with my parents. I became the lone survivor.
Danny Rand, back from the dead. Why has he waited this long to show up? How the hell did he learn martial arts?
Where'd you train?
Kunlun. My father instilled in me a love and respect for this company that has never faded. This is my home.
Rand is my company.
This city is no place for Danny Rand.
We put in practice and discipline, no giving up, no giving in.
Danny, what happened to you? Why are you really back here?
Some bad people have gotten on the inside. Criminals.
I know what they are, what they can do. To fight them, we need someone with special skills.
I've been training my whole life for this.
This is my destiny. It's time.
I'm going with you.
No, you're not.
You need me.
Change is coming, Danny.
Become what you were meant to be.
I am the Iron Fist.
The hell does that mean?
All four join forces for the superhero team-up series, The Defenders. Finn Jones and Jessica Henwick, They are a big part of the Marvel TV universe now. Hey, let's not waste any time. Time to head on in for my Terrificon Q&A with Finn Jones and Jessica Henwick.
You guys had a blast here at Terrificon?
All right. Well, look, we are talking Iron Fist. We're talking Defenders. We might get some Game of Thrones discussion in. I know we're there. Maybe a little Star Wars action, too. So first, I got to ask you, how's your chi?
My chi? It's pretty good, actually. It's pretty level. It feels good. I've been meeting a lot of really nice people, a lot of support, a lot of love here at the convention. So I say my chi is very highly balanced.
Right there. Okay, so yeah. We're good. Because it wasn't when you start off the show. It was a little off. So.
Oh, now we're talking about the character. Yeah, Danny's chi was all over the place when he first got back to New York.
Now, I have to ask you both. Did you get a chance to meet up with Iron Fist creator Roy Thomas?
Yeah, I did. I saw him yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got a picture.
It's not often you get to meet your creator. As you go through, again, like I did in an earlier panel, I don't want to get existential here, but yeah, it's a very spiritual thing. Did you have any questions? Did either of you have any questions for him kind of coming into this?
I don't think actually Roy did call in. I don't think he was.
Not yours, but yeah, creating the whole, yeah, creating the character of Iron Fist.
I mean, I only saw him for a couple of minutes, but yeah.
Because when he created the character, too, you think, I mean, Danny Rand in the, I don't know if you saw the first appearance, but he kind of had everything all together. When you're coming in,
yeah, so even the outfit, he came straight out, come on, and he's superhero.
He already had spandex.
He already had the spandex. He already had the mask.
Where did he find spandex in Kung Lun?
There could have been an outlet.
There
could have been an outlet mall. I have no idea.
He snitched it himself.
There could have been. So congratulations first of all on season 2 announced for Iron Fist. So that is fantastic. As actors, that has to be great news for you, knowing that you've got the pickup and now you can relax and everything's fine.
About relaxing. We're going straight into training next week as soon as we get back, so it's pretty grueling.
As we speak, Defenders is on right now. So has anybody binged watched all of it? So wow, look at that. That's
nice.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you this: I've not had a chance. We're going to try and keep
Who started it and not finished it? Right,
we're going to try and keep it. Yeah, we're going to try and keep it spoiler free, because especially since I would like to watch it as well and not have it completely spoiled for me. I've been a little busy this weekend, but you guys have just been going back to back to back through all this. Have you had any break between Iron Fist and Defenders coming through at all?
No, I've kind of been on the road and doing this stuff for about maybe just over a year and a half now. I started Iron Fist in March last year, then I went straight into Defenders after filming. Straight into it. And then after Defenders, I went into an Iron Fist press tour. And then after that press tour, now I've gone straight into Defenders press tour. And now I go straight into season 2 of Iron Fist.
Man.
Yeah.
And then
Marvel. And work you hard.
Yes.
I literally had just about enough time to fly to Belfast and film Game of Thrones. And then that was pretty much it. It was.
And then you went on to do another film as well after.
And then
Fist.
I did a film immediately. Oh. No, not after Defenders. Fist, after Defenders. Yeah.
You weren't 100% sure you were going to be able to get Game of Thrones in or get the conclusion of your character, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a little touch and go there for a while?
Basically, they rang me and they were like, these are the dates that we film. And I said, well, that's the exact same date that I film. but I really wanted to do it because they said, if you can't make it to Belfast, we're just going to have to, you know, your character's going to have to disappear. And it will leave the fans wondering. And a part of me was like, ooh, because obviously, with the exception of this current season, everyone was going, what happened to Gendry? He just rode off the boat and he just disappeared for like 3-4
I was going to say, it's not completely foreign to that show that somebody just disappears, right?
So I mean, was like, maybe I should leave the door open. But there's only one season left, and I wanted the fans to have closure and know what happens to her. I didn't want her to just disappear or even be recast. I don't think that was an option, but you know, better to be safe than sorry. So my agent and I tried really hard, and thankfully Marvel were considerate enough to give me just enough time over like Thanksgiving and Christmas. And basically it got down to the stage where I would fly to Belfast, have a costume fitting, and get back on a plane back to New York. And it was like 4 or 5 trips in total, just going back, training, fly back to, and keep filming Iron Fist just on the weekends, you know.
Hard. One of the things I love about that character, too, is that, and you just saw mentioned here, we're both on the indie cast, we're both huge Indiana Jones fans. I mean, I know you've had katana training, I know you've done all these different weapons training, but you got a bullwhip for that character. Okay, so did you watch a lot of Raiders of the Lost Ark? Did you, how well did you do in real life with the bullwhip training, and did you get hurt?
I did get hurt. Okay. I whipped myself in my rear. in the bottle. And I also got the cracker right across my face, and I was very lucky not to get scarred, and I was very lucky that it didn't hit me in the eye. I mean, I had protective goggles on, but yeah, I trained really hard, and I did do some research and to try and see what has been seen before. And for me, I kind of thought, oh, you really just see this sort of general forward crack, and I kind of wanted to do something different, so I started watching this YouTuber. His name is Adam. I think his name is Adam Wynn something, but he's a famous YouTuber bullwhip specialist. And so I was watching his tutorials and trying to...
You did your bullwhip training from YouTube?
From YouTube.
YouTube's a really great place to
learn. Right, but you have a bullwhip trainer?
I have a trainer, but he was in Belfast.
Okay, so it wasn't just YouTube.
He was in Belfast, and so I would fly out, I'd have one session with him, and then I have 2 weeks where I have to just, you know, self-motivate. YouTube was a really valuable resource.
Yeah.
Did you get as good as Harrison Ford? Like, because sometimes we see him, like, he'll
I'm
just
much
like.
Better than Harrison Ford. I don't think Harrison Ford.
Okay, all right. Like, he's had a lot of experience.
That. I don't think he can do that much with a bullwhip.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with you because I've seen you with a katana, so you're not going to get any arguments from me at all. And then, Finn, I'll talk about a little bit about your experience with Game of Thrones. Because a few more episodes on there, you were on there for a little bit longer time.
Yeah, I was on the show for 6 years.
Yeah, so, I mean, what was your experience like? I mean, where all did you film at? I mean, how much of a grueling production schedule that compared to even Iron Fist?
Not even comparable. I mean, Game of Thrones was a holiday.
Oh.
I mean, it was a holiday. We went to Croatia especially. Yeah, you can't even compare the two, but Game of Thrones was great. I was on that show for 6 years. I met a lot of really great people, great friends, and it was really something that, as a person, as an actor, I kind of grew through certain stages of my life with that character, as I'm sure I will do with Iron Fist. So it was, you know, I had a great time with the character in the show.
What kind of kids were both of you? What were your influences coming out? Because, you know, we know we love all these Marvel characters, we love the DC characters, and those are sort of things that influence our lives. Growing up, were either of you comic book readers? Did you like action adventure films? What were the things that inspired you? Not at all.
I used to read X-Men just so that I could copy out the drawings, because I thought that they were so beautiful. And so I got really into that when I was a teenager, and I used to read like manga and stuff like that. I was super into action adventure films. I loved Labyrinth, and I would consider that an adventure, kind of action, mainly adventure. I had a VHS and I broke it. I watched it so many times. And my dad was really mad because I had recorded over one of his cricket matches. So yeah, I was super into genre stuff when I was a kid. I still am. Mm.
Yeah, I was really into, you brought up Labyrinth. Dark Crystal is one of my favorite films. Yeah. I wasn't really into the whole action genre. Didn't read comic books growing up.
Were you like into sports? I mean, what were the
no,
kind of things that you dug?
I was really into music as a kid.
Girls,
yeah, girls, music.
What kind of music?
I like to be out in nature. Actually, I like to go and, you know, go to the woods and ride my bike and, you know, do all that kind of stuff. I was an outdoorsy person.
Okay,
I still am. So I didn't really spend too much time watching movies or television or anything like that. Really, I love music a lot. I really like Studio Ghibli films.
Yeah, love Studio Ghibli films.
They're really great as well.
It's great.
Now, how did...
But it's interesting because that has such a, a nature theme throughout all his films.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
It's all about the environment and being globally aware and conscious. And
yeah,
so that's
actually
really interesting. Yeah. That's
well, this sort of plays into the Danny Rand thing, too. There's the spiritual and then one with nature and all those. So you must, like, really get into those scenes.
Yeah.
Because hopefully we'll get more, you know, Kanlon as we go forward.
I think we will.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we definitely will.
Have you been fans of the Marvel, I'm going to say, because there's so much out there now. It's like the Marvel movies, we've got the Netflix movies, we got the Marvel TV stuff.
Yeah, I never actually watched any Marvel films.
It's okay, this is a safe place, there's no judgment, there's no judgment on
the cameras that are on there.
You are Iron Fist, so it's okay, you're bringing it to life now.
Yeah,
so.
No, I didn't. No, I never watched
it. That's okay. I'm
more of a documentary person as well. I prefer documentaries to like fictional films. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Jessica, were you familiar?
I'd seen the Netflix, like Daredevil season 1, 2, Jessica Jones. And then when it came out, I saw some of Luke Cage.
Yeah, I saw Daredevil.
Yeah. Okay, so you did catch it.
But I actually saw Devil After I was cast as Iron Fist.
Did you start going back and binging
then?
You
felt guilty.
Yeah, I know. I'm with these guys in Defenders. I should probably tell them I watched their show or something. Yeah. So how did...
And I saw a Captain America once. One of the good ones.
Which, could you be a little more specific?
Not Winter Soldier. What was the one before Winter Soldier?
First Avenger.
Oh, not the first one. Not the first one.
Winter Soldier.
Maybe it was Winter Soldier. Yeah, it was Winter Soldier. That was it.
Okay.
I like
so
that.
You've got Marvel cred. That's fine. You got Marvel cred. That's all good. You're catching up.
Deadpool
now.
Was actually really great. Yeah, Deadpool was fantastic.
What about Logan?
I like Logan. Yeah, I like Logan.
So you've actually seen more than you think you've seen. So.
No, but this was all post being
that's
in
okay.
Marvel.
You're catching
like
up.
Before it, I just hadn't got a,
you're catching up. Now, how did Iron Fist come into both of your lives? I mean, when did you first hear about the project? When did and then once you learned about it, take us through that process, and then. Maybe the preps that you did.
I've been
to go
about
back.
I was actually cast after Finn. Basically, I had been talking with Marvel for a while, and I knew some of their casting directors, and I was really interested in coming into this world. And so I researched the best female roles that I thought might be made one day. And I made a list of badass characters, and Colleen was one of them. She was actually like number two or three on my list, I think. And wow. I said, Iron Fist has been commissioned. I don't know if this character will be a part of it. If she is, I would love to audition for her. Here are all her characteristics. Cut to a year later, my agent says, right, so this project's come in. It's got a code name. The character's called Christine, but she has everything that you said, so I think that it's actually Colleen. And lo and behold, it was. I sent off a self-tape. In the meantime, Finn got cast, and I congratulated him, and then...
I've still got those messages on...
Oh, really?
You DM'd me through Twitter.
Oh, yeah, that's true, I did.
And, like, no one DMs you through Twitter. Like, it's a weird thing. So, I've just, like, whenever I go to my DMs on Twitter, like, it's still up there in the kind of, like,
dirt.
You know.
Finn got cast, I congratulated him, and then it was a week or 2 weeks later, I was like, oh, my gosh, you'll never guess who is coming to L.A. right now. I flew out. We auditioned together, we did a screen test, and I got back on a plane, and when I landed in London, I had a phone call from Jeff Loeb, who's the head of Marvel TV, and he said, I have three words that are going to change your life forever. Welcome to Marvel.
Nice.
And the rest of it.
That's a true journey. Because a lot of time you mentioned the character you got, it was different names, and so I guess you get sides, there are different things, so sometimes you're just reading and it doesn't even have anything to do with it, you're testing
Danny,
chemistry. And
Danny
things.
Was Dylan Thomas. That was Danny.
Is that a real actor?
Dylan Thomas?
Poet.
Oh.
He's a poet.
Boom.
There you go.
Thank you, Rob.
So
Yeah, it's crazy. And
were the lines you were like? Did you have any? Did you even know it was Marvel? I mean, did you?
Yeah,
okay. Well,
I mean, they give it code names.
It's not like some
you're
random
aware
project.
That it's Netflix and Marvel, and they actually when I got the audition come through, they gave me a link to the Marvel website with the actual character breakdown, so I knew exactly who I was auditioning.
Why did they even bother with the code name?
I was going to say, because that kind of destroys it all right there. It's like, okay, by the way, here's this link to...
I think it's more for, like, people outside. It's more of a security issue for, like, hackers and things that, rather than the actual people auditioning. What was the question?
Could sort of walk us through the audition process, because you're not reading actual scenes from that, so how are you... But
so
you had a sense of what it was, though, going in.
So when I went into the auditions, I had dummy sides. I think I had two scenes. They wouldn't send you any scripts prior, so you wouldn't know what the story is or anything like that. I just had to go on a reference of their previous shows, Daredevil and Jessica Jones. And, you know, I checked those out, and they were really great. So, I was in. And I loved the character. The Iron Fist really suited... It really spoke to me. And so that allowed me to have a certain willingness for the role in the project. When the audition first came through, I was actually on my last day of Game of Thrones. I just finished my last ever day, and I was in the airport on the way home, and I was kind of sitting there thinking... I'm unemployed.
Now what? Yeah.
You know, first time in 6 years that I hadn't had a job to kind of look forward to. And as an actor, that's pretty terrifying. Especially when you're, I was 28 and I was like, you know, this is my time now. I either go on and I get a leading role in something or, you know, and I further my career or I'm just going to be one of those actors that does Game of Thrones, plays like a guest star for 6 years, and then does nothing. You know, so it was pretty, you know, I was, you know, just thinking things through. And as I was at the airport on my way back from Belfast, I get this email through from my agent for Iron Fist. And at first, you know, the code name was Kick. So at first I thought it was like a thing for soccer. And I was like, oh, God. I don't like football. And I was like, oh,
as we've established, sports was not...
I was like, about football? Really? I was like, oh, no, not really. Anyway, so I opened the thing up and it said, okay, this is a secret Marvel project.
It's about Dylan Thomas, a star.
Footballer
in the making.
Right.
Who trained in China.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he's coming to New York to claim the championship.
The Iron Trophy.
The Iron Trophy.
And then... And so...
So you're looking, it's Marvel.
Yeah.
So you're
then,
in.
Yeah, and then I opened up the link, because they sent a little link to explain who the character actually was, my agents did. And I, you know, started reading the character of Danny Rand, and as soon as I read that breakdown, I had this weird feeling in my gut that I think you only really have a certain number of times in your life where you just kind of go, this is it.
Yeah.
It's not even up there. It's something which is in here. And I just knew then.
Okay, so when you're looking at that, this is what I'm curious about, because when you're looking at that, how was it explained, that character? Because as we said, in the comic book, he's got it all together. He hits the streets of New York running. He's got everything going on, and he goes in and he takes care of business. How was that explained to you? Because that is... it's fish out of water when
my agent sent me the character breakdown. They sent me the character breakdown from the Marvel website, so it was the Marvel character that they
sent. So you had the guy that had it all together.
But I guess when I got the audition sides, the two scenes that I got were the signs where there was one side where I was in the mental hospital with the doctor. So I knew it was going to be something about like identity, like people not really realizing my identity. And the second side was the argument with Ward in the car. So I knew he was going to be a little bit like off the hinges. But those were the only two scenes and the only idea of a character that I was given prior to actually getting the part. And then once I got the part, you only get the episodes 2 weeks in advance. Well, not even that, maybe a week and a half in advance of you shooting them. So really throughout Iron Fist and Defenders, you're really just picking up the character's journey as you're going along. But from what I was aware, you know, the character, and what I love about the character is that when we first see him, he isn't fully formed. You know, he's the youngest out of the Defenders. He doesn't even know what a superhero is yet. He doesn't know what shoes are either. You know, he's a complete fish out of water. And what I loved in over those 21 episodes is you really get a chance to slowly evolve and grow this character into this guy here that's on your t-shirt and that everyone knows. And that's the great thing about television.
That's the thing, I think people too, and well, one of the things that struck me, and I think this for both of you, as you're cast, by the time you're cast to the time you're shooting, and if you've seen the series, you know how knockdown, drag out it is for both of you. It wasn't much time at all that you had to sort of prepare for this role, and especially
like,
the fight scenes.
We had to move countries. You know, I lived in London, so I had to, you know, essentially move homes, move lives. And I think I had about a month and a half to do all that, to find a new apartment in New York, to get a visa, to like train, to, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it was really... And it was even...
And it was same with your... I mean, same time frame.
I had about a month.
It was even crazier. For Jess and Tom, who played Joy and Ward, they found out they were cast on, like, say, the Friday, and they were flying in and filming on the Tuesday.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's
nuts.
Unbelievable.
That's how TV works. TV is crazy fast. You know, people will see this stuff, and they think we get, like, hours and months to, like, prepare and work on this stuff, but really, you turn up and you do it. And so you just need to, like, be ready.
And so you know what you're getting into at this point because you, I mean, you were familiar with the character, so you knew what was going on. Talk about the training that you had to go through and such a compressed time frame and being able to learn these. Because it's basically, hey, learn to fight like Bruce Lee in 15 minutes, right? As you're getting ready to shoot these things.
Well, I think it's different for Jess because you wasn't shooting the whole time. You know.
Yeah, so I had, after I was cast, I had about a month before I moved to New York, so a month to train, and I spoke to Brett Chan, our stunt coordinator, and I said, what should I start doing while I'm in London? And he said, you know, just general strength. Like, I went and I took katana classes and I took aikido, but the biggest thing was that they wanted me to put on weight, but just muscle weight. So the majority of that month was actually just spent eating a lot of chicken. But then when I got there, yeah, I was fortunate that, I mean, in the first episode, I think I have like two scenes. So I had quite a lot of time in between to continue training with the team and just really immerse myself in that world, which was, it was so perfect for Colleen, because those stunties, the stunt actors, they're people who have devoted their lives to martial arts. And that was exactly what Colleen was. So it was actually a really fascinating sort of character insight. I kept picking up things like, oh, that's what they do, and this is how they act when they're not working out. And it was good fuel for me.
Were there any shortcuts that you were able to take with your trainers, with the stunt people, because it was such a tight timeline? And because you have to have known, like, you were training in Kunlun forever to hit the ground and be able to do these things, but you didn't have any martial arts background, did you?
Well, the thing with Danny as well is that what differs from the comic books to the show is that Danny actually hadn't trained that long in Kunlun. The story is that he had just attained the Iron Fist, and then he legged it.
Yeah.
So actually, in the story, it makes sense for him to not be a fully formed Iron Fist, because that's the character. Like, he's like a teenager that's just like, all right, dude, you know, he's reckless, you know? So that's why I think, you know, that makes sense for the character without show, you know?
But you didn't have, did you have martial arts?
No, coming into it?
Okay, how do you approach that? What questions did you have for the trainers and the stunt folks?
Well, the way you approach it is really as a dance. The choreography is a dance. You know, you're learning steps to a dance and a routine. So when you go in, you know, you learn what the movement steps are, and then you perform it. Yeah.
So I noticed even as the series progresses along, it seems like the fight scenes get more intense and more intense as they build. Did you, as you were going through, did everything just start to click for you and some of the moves that you were doing? Because it looked, even when you, especially when you get to, I think, episode 7, somewhere around there, and I think is that I think around 7 or 8 is your big katana battle, the first one you have, I think, in the alley or something. And it those just look phenomenal. I mean, what comfort level did you guys approach at that point?
I also think like a lot of emphasis is put on the shows on the fight scenes and stuff, and actually that's only a small part of it. Like the great thing about these Netflix shows is they're actually about character development, and that's the reason why I took this role up, is because the character is a very different superhero to what we've seen. You know, he's someone that's eternally optimistic. You know, he's vulnerable. He's not perfect. And that's what I really admired about the character. But it seems crazy to me that there's always so much emphasis on the fight scenes and all that kind of stuff, when actually there's also a lot of really great character work that's underlining it all, which kind of gets forgotten about, you know, which is, I guess it's just the way these shows are, but it's a shame.
Well, you talk about the character development too. Yeah. I mean, when you talk about the Meacham family, I mean, there's some serious issues with these folks.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some of those character development scenes and just getting the emotion of these beats when you're not throwing kicks and you know, jumping off walls and
that was great. But it was nice because I think we all had a good dynamic between all of the cast members. So it was really great to work with Jess and Tom, who played Warden Joy, and also Sasha, who played Davos, was really great to work with. And we all got on offset, and I think that really helps when you're very close offset. It's really easy to find chemistry on set, and I think especially between me and Jess, because we knew each other beforehand. I think the chemistry between Danny and Colleen is really great because we had a connection beforehand.
So. And Jessica, we're talking about that dynamic between the two of you. That relationship does go through so many changes in just a few episodes. So what conversations did you and Finn have of just kind of approaching how you, because there's stuff that's revealed, like, you know what's coming, but he's not supposed to know anything about it.
Well, it's funny, they actually tried to keep it from Finn, but he found out, like, day one.
Apparently you didn't have all the scripts.
The hand? Well, because I was told, but then we weren't meant to know, and someone spilled it at dinner, one of the producers. And so then it was like, oh, you know that? Oh, okay. Surprise! So we didn't really have any conversations because it was taken out of our hands.
Does that impact you as an actress? Because I know some actors don't want to know things. They want their characters to be revealed. Do you prefer to know?
Yeah,
it's very important to know the arc you're going on, so then you can start to play certain things. It's like, you know, when you perform a play, you need to read the whole play so you know what's happening at Act 1, Act 2, Act 3, and how to chart your progress. If you don't have that, you're just like, well, where the hell is this train going? you know?
Yeah. All right, let's turn over to the audience. I'm sure we've got some questions. Yeah, let's go right over here.
Just kind of touching base, dovetail off of that comment, similar to the leaks that happened with HBO, a lot of stuff getting taken, I'm hearing that they're going to start maybe not having the links where you can see all the information all at once to protect the integrity of the storyline. Would they stop you guys from knowing what's happening as well?
Well, they do. That's the thing. Marvel are very secretive, and so secretive that you don't know what's really coming. I'm quite aggressive in finding out like what's happening with the character in the show. So I found out about, you know, what happened with Colleen. So I find my ways around it. But yeah, I have to. You know, it's my job. Like, I need to find out what's going on. But, you know, and I understand why these companies are very secretive about their things, because it's a multi-million dollar company, and if their secrets get out, then the competition is going to pick up on it. So I understand it, but as a creative, it's very difficult to work in that kind of corporate secretive environment, you know? But it's just, you know, it's just one of the things that, you know, you have to get by.
Another question right up front here.
Jess, who's number one on your list of Marvel characters you want to play?
I don't remember. I also don't. I don't want to say, because one of my friends, like, we both auditioned around the same time, and I ended up getting Iron Fist, and she got this other project. So I don't want to say.
Am I correct in saying that your katana training was from a Power Ranger?
Yes.
Can you give us a little bit of background on that?
Hiro Minami, one of the original Power Rangers in Japan, absolute master swordsman, genius, extraordinaire, was my teacher, and he's a real, they call him the OG. So it was like, when he came into the room, everyone was like, oh my god, I can't believe you're getting taught by Minami-sama. Because he doesn't give lessons. This is the thing about the experts in Kung Fu or Karate, it's very hard to get them because they don't... It's
sacred knowledge.
Yeah, it's sacred knowledge. It's very much like they want to be sure that you're worthy of this information, because you could use it for...
Well, you can then dilute the information, you know, so it doesn't become as
twist
powerful.
Twist it and warp it, yeah. So it's so hard to find these guys. So I was really lucky that Minami-sama wanted to teach me.
What's more challenging for you, weapons training or hand-to-hand combat training?
Good weapons night. Training is harder for me. I kind of find hand-to-hand comes more naturally, I think. Yeah, because a weapon is, it's not like, your hand-to-hand is just, you're dealing with your own body. Once you put a weapon in, that's got its own weight. It changes the way that you move. It changes your speed. So you have to completely readapt. And with a katana, and it was the same with the bullwhip, I needed it to be an extension of my hand. I needed it to be second thought. I can't be there in the fight being like, uppercut and slice down. It has to be like so natural. So yeah, weapons are by far the hardest.
And Finn, you are the living weapon.
Yes.
So you just are your own weapon. So
exactly.
Just all Finn training at that point. So how did they? What's the? Are there multiple ways of getting the Iron Fist effect? I know it's like all CGI and the stuff in post, but some of that stuff looks really like you might be wearing something.
What they do is, so there's basically, I have a bracelet which has like LED lights on it, and then it has a wire that goes up my arm and it goes around my waist, and on my waist they have a battery pack and a receiver. And someone in the corner dims up the light and dims down the light.
You're on a dimmer?
So, there's a dimmer.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, and what that does is that allows like natural light reflection, so that when they do the make the Iron Fist in post, that it actually has natural light reflection, so it feels more realistic. It feels more natural.
Yeah. And I'm assuming as we move into, and again, I haven't had a chance to binge yet, but and as we move into Defenders and Iron Fist season 2, that will even out on both sides.
I don't know. That's a question for our new showrunner, Raven Metzner. And just to let you know, we've got a new showrunner for season 2. He's awesome. He's really great. He really loves the character. He really cares about the project, and he's got some really great ideas. We've both been speaking to him, and
yeah.
I'm actually super excited to get back to work and see the character evolve even further.
I want to ask you about that, because Scott Buck was the showrunner on season 1.
Yeah.
So how is it difficult kind of going in? Is there a new vision kind of coming in with a new showrunner?
It was the same for Defenders. Like, I went to Defenders and we had a different showrunner on that as well. So really, it's actually quite liberating, because what it allows you to understand is that the character is truly yours. You know, you are in the driving seat of this character, and it gives you a lot of freedom. But again, also, there is a lot of, like, I guess there can be a lot of uncertainty, but luckily, so far, Marvel have brought on board really thoughtful, really passionate and creatively stimulating showrunners. Marco was fantastic, and so is Raven. So I can see it can, you know, if they brought on a showrunner that wasn't great, it would be pretty terrifying. But luckily, we've been very lucky, and Raven's awesome, and so was Marco.
Everybody's
so
happy, happy set.
Yeah, everyone's super happy.
It's always good to see. Right over here.
There's like a lot of popular shows now, and I don't know the background of the actor, and then I see them in an interview, and I find out that person's British.
They're all British now.
British actor. So, how hard is it for you to do an American accent, and can you do other accents as well?
I'm actually pretty terrible at other accents. some people can just, like, you know, some people have just got a knack for it. I've been doing an American accent for a couple of years now, because I was doing a lot of auditions back and forth, which had to have American accents. And then we have a dialect coach on set as well, who's there continuously in our ears, telling us that we've dropped our R's or we need to do something else. So, you know, we have coaches on set.
Do you base it on anyone, like any, like, things you see or certain... Mm-hmm. Like, no. Do you try to, like, watch a lot of New York type movies or things like that?
No, because I never really do that with performances, because then I think all you're doing is then replicating someone else's performance. I think it's far better to find something that speaks to you from within you and that come out. So it's just kind of like practice and just like finding it in your own system.
Do you find yourself ever talking in your character's voice, especially when you're shooting? Like, do you like slip in and out of things, especially with just when you're in doing 13, 14, 15 hour days? Yeah, and you get off, and all of a sudden you're...
Yeah, I guess, like, recently a friend of mine came over to New York after I was filming for, like, 10 months, and I was at a, you know, I was just out with them, and I kept on saying things that sounded American, and they were like, Finn, what's happened to you? You've turned American. I'm like, it's not my fault. I'm like, half of the time I'm speaking American, yeah. So it's... Yeah, you do find yourself going to get...
Do you find yourself slipping in and out from times, or...?
Yeah, sometimes. Sometimes. Same thing. It's just when you're spending months on end... just speaking in one accent.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, even now when I'm listening to myself, I know I sound less British than I used to.
Mm-hmm.
My words are softened into this weird transatlantic, undefinable accent.
But isn't that becoming part of the character, too? That, yeah. Like, you find the character sort of taking over, and you're like, oh, wow, I can just sort of slip in and out like a glove on this.
I never want to stay in accent between takes on anything.
Yeah, I think that's weird.
I tell you what, it's weird. But on Game of Thrones, actually, me, Keisha, who plays Avara, and Rosabelle, who plays my younger sister, as a joke, we stayed in our accents for ages, but we just kept, like, taking the piss. and we were reenacting our, like, we were saying the spin-off show, the Sounds of the Ink spin-off show, but it was a comedy. so that was quite funny, but no, for the most part, I don't.
But you don't stay in character, though, right?
No.
You're not one of those actors. Okay. Have you ever worked with actors that stay in character?
Not on TV. TV, okay. You can't do that kind of stuff. Yeah, on a film, like, say you're working with a certain director, and, like, that's a part of, like, the process, then but in television... No one's got time for that.
Move on.
You just become a dick.
You get a prep.
You're just like, oh my god, that guy is taking himself way too seriously.
We're a 15-hour day with this guy. Please get him away from me. Yeah.
Like, it's too much.
We got right here.
With all the fight training that you've had for these roles, do you feel in real life that you could defend yourselves if you were in danger?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm a pacifist, but I don't like to resort to violence as a first kind of call of action. But, you know, if I was walking down the street and someone tried it on with me, I wouldn't like to be in their shoes. Because I'm waiting to punch someone for real. I'm really waiting for it. I'd love to know what it feels like. But
Could you imagine the headline the next day? It's like, you know,
Iron Fist
actually punches somebody with
an iron. I'd do a Clark Kent. Hold right there. I'd go into a phone booth or whatever he gets into. And
that's when the spandex comes out.
That's when the spandex.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you feel comfortable enough with that?
I like to think so. It's so hard to say when you're not in that situation. And thankfully, you know, touch wood, I've never been in that situation. But I'd like to think that I'd be able to take care of myself.
You totally could.
You're speaking from experience, too. Right here? Yep.
I have a question for Danny. I mean,
One and the same.
You've morphed in the character. See, this is why.
So how does the criticism of Iron Fist season 1 influence you as an actor and your character going forward?
Do you know what? It doesn't really affect my performance or how I perceive the character. I've always perceived the character as who he is. I've always believed in the character, and I will continue to do so. So, you know, I understand who the character is, and I think a lot of people do. I think a lot of people really, especially coming to these conventions, I think people really understand what we're doing with the character. And especially if you've seen Defenders all the way through, you'll know that the Iron Fist and Defenders is all like the first arc of Danny Rand, and that was always going to be the intention. And I've known that. So when the criticism came, it was just like, well, all right, hold on to your horses, guys. Just wait. Just wait and see what happens with the character. And yeah, you know, it's water off my back. You know, people can do they do them. You know, I know I got this.
I think we saw that with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too. And when you think about a TV show, especially one as long as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there's a 3-part story arc, but those take hours and hours and hours to build on. And I think it was the same thing with season 1 with them. It's just like, just hold your horses, everybody.
Yeah,
take your time. We're going to get there.
Everyone wants everything now.
Yeah.
We want it now.
We want to see
like,
him in
guys, just enjoy it, you know? Just sit back and just enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy it, turn it off. No one's making you watch it. Don't get angry about it. You know, just watch something else.
You don't have to pay $7.99 for Netflix.
Well, no,
you
can do that. I want to say that.
Well, I think, doesn't this too, with all the Marvel characters that are out there, doesn't this open the door to something like Iron Fist, having Danny Rand established, doesn't this open the door to something like maybe Shang-Chi for future seasons?
Bring him on. Yeah,
I mean, have they talked at all about maybe even bringing in some of those other...
Hey, look, I'm just an actor. Marvel don't discuss any of that kind of
Apparently
stuff.
Apparently Jessica's heard something, because...
No,
okay.
I think it'd be great.
Have you asked that question, though, like to any of the producers?
I haven't, and I wouldn't tell you if I had.
That's okay. No, we don't want Disney coming down upon us and Marvel coming down upon us. Right over here, yep.
What villain would you like Iron Fist to go up against in season 2?
Ooh, what villain? That's a good question. I'd actually like... I mean, this is kind of... Mr. Potato Head. That would be pretty good. I think Davos is great. You know, we've kind of seen Davos in the first season of Iron Fist, and we're kind of seeing them... I like the idea that, you know, they used to be brothers... And at the end of Iron Fist, they've kind of gone their separate ways, and they're not seeing eye to eye anymore. And I think there's a really interesting chance to really really go into that a bit more. You know, I think that could be quite cool. Personally, on a like fantastical level, I'd love to see Danny go dark side, see him team up with someone like Thanos, because you know it's Chi. You know it's Chi. Chi can be light and Chi can be dark. You know we have. Positive energy and we have evil energy, and I think it would be nice to see Danny really kind of go dark side and then come back through that, you know, and tell the story of how do you come back from that level of
like
darkness. Like who?
Like joining the hand.
I mean, well, you know, no, I think that's a bit too far.
Wouldn't you really rather you went after Cersei Lannister though?
Yes. Get a bit of meta revenge.
We talk about some of these crossover things too, and I've asked other Marvel actors this before, is that it used to be, originally it was all connected. Because you had the movie universe, and then all of a sudden, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all these things were connected, and the Netflix things, they were all in the same universe. And then for a little while, it seemed to go away from that. And the TV thing was the TV thing, and the movie thing was the movie thing. How do both of you understand that, or do you put that into your thought processes? Can we pop into Avengers movies?
I think it's a scheduling thing and a money thing. I don't think it's necessarily a creative thing. It would be nice to see that, but I really think when it comes down to it, I just think trying to align film schedules with television schedules is near impossible, especially with the Defenders lot.
Yeah, because we've seen the movie characters jump into the TV universe. We've seen Samuel Jackson, and we've seen Lady Sif. And
what did Samuel Jackson come into?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they've done that, but then it's...
Well, maybe it's not that then. Look, these questions, you're asking us actors like we know stuff.
No.
We know nothing.
We want to know what you know.
So really, you can ask us all you want, but whatever. Like,
I feel like you're hanging on craft services and just maybe asking somebody. Just maybe overhear something.
This happens in secret private rooms up in a tower somewhere where there's lots of locks on the door.
At Rand Tower, yes. All the way in the back here, yep.
Yes. How would you describe your relationship or your dynamic with Luke Cage in Defenders? And do you think, if moving forward, would you see crossovers like Danny and Luke Cage or Luke Cage and Iron Man?
I think it's certainly a possibility. I think now that we've all met in Defenders, I think it definitely opens up for all of us to kind of start seeing each other more, which is super exciting. I love the relationship between Danny and Luke. I think it's incredibly relevant right now that we have an on-screen relationship like that. I think it can. It has the chance to be super powerful, but also at the same time, you know, not just having like social relevance. I think it's a lot of fun, man. Like, it's a lot of fun between the two characters, and as we see in the Defenders, it's just we're starting to create those elements, you know. And I'm super excited about the future for those two characters.
We've seen the relationship between Colleen and Danny in the current season. It's been up and down, to say the least. I think they've announced, too, that Simone Missick is missing out. He was going to be joining in season two. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think in the comics, didn't Danny have a relationship with her?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And Colleen was with Luke.
Yeah. So, I know you can't tell us anything, but if you would like to see a storyline going somewhere, where what would you like to see happen if you were writing those relationship stories?
I think it's weird for both of us to interchange relationships. That would be a bit creepy.
Yeah. Defenders, call it the Swingers instead.
Yeah, that's a whole other series, yeah.
That's for the fan fiction for you guys to write.
That one may have to move to HBO. That one would be on HBO. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, please write me some fan fiction. I want to read this.
Oh my god, Jess, no, you don't.
You've just opened the floodgates.
Oh my god, this is a public call. I want to read Colleen fan fiction.
There's your private messages on Twitter. Okay? Yeah, wait till those ones start coming in.
Good luck.
Another question here? All the way in the back right there, yeah.
Did you spend any off-screen time with Mike Coulter to develop the,
Yeah, I mean, you know, one of the great things about the two characters is me and Mike get on incredibly well. Like, we just have, like, Mike is, you wouldn't think it, but Mike is super goofy. Like, he's just a big, lovable giant, and he's a really great guy, as are all the other Defenders. But, we all hang out off set and when we're not in characters, and definitely I think as I get to know the characters, actors more, our connections are growing, and that's definitely the case for me and Mike. I love Mike. He's a great guy. Really great guy.
Another question right up here.
Game of Thrones, how was your first day with the book, and when you were set to fail, was that your last few days?
Yeah, do you want to? I've been speaking way too much.
My last day was the very last shot, which is the wide shot where I'm. It was just after Christmas. I think it was like the 3rd or 4th of January. It was very, very cold, very windy, and it was one shot, and I waited like 6 hours to film it. And then they put me up on the rig. And originally they wanted me, like they wanted to tie it around my neck and string it up. But when we had done the fight, I got into a bit of an onset accident where I actually got choked for real. And so I didn't realize how I kind of had this sort of PTSD. And so they put it around my neck and I was like, get it off, get it off, get it off. And so that's a CG whip in that last scene because I couldn't bring myself to do it. And of course, it's just hard. You're 40 feet up. It's blowing, gusting wind, and you have to keep your eyes open and staring and not moving. And then they wanted this as well.
No one should ever put themselves in danger just to create movies and television shows.
Yeah.
Like, your health comes number one.
Yeah.
And if you feel unsafe on set, you need to call that shit out because it's just not, it's not worth it. Your life is not worth it.
And you watch it and you can't tell it's CG at all. So,
yeah. Exactly, they can do all that stuff in post.
Yeah, so that was my last day on set. And it was kind of a shame because I wanted my last day to be with Keisha and Rosabelle, but that's not actually Keisha who's pinned to the ship. That's a big secret. It's actually a stunt double.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Because they basically said, whoever is doing the Keisha part, Ibarra, we can't keep bringing her up and down and up and down, so she had to stay up there for the whole 6 hours in the freezing cold.
Stunt people go through it,
with
man.
The spear
they
through
go
her back.
Through it.
And so it was a double. They didn't want to do it to Keisha. So,
yeah. And I got to say, actually, right now, the stunt doubles on Defenders are so awesome. Like, they really they rough it for the show, and they don't get enough acknowledgement. So
and it was like a hard winter shoot, and they just do.
I remember doing that fight scene at the beginning with Elektra's double, Lauren.
In the rain.
In the rain, and God, I don't know how she did it. She was in this like long coat, and it was just like wet. It's like so wet, and she was just being thrown on the ground again and again and again for like 8 hours. Like, after, again and again and again.
And the thing is, our costumes aren't warm.
No, they're not warm.
Our costumes are very... We're not wearing winter clothing. I'm always in Lululemon. And it's like, Lululemon is not for winter.
Yeah, it looks good.
It looks great, but...
When do you go into production on Iron Fist Season 2?
We don't know yet, but I think it's going to be towards the end of the year sometime.
Okay.
Yeah. So we actually start training next week. So this is the nice thing about Season 2 and moving forward, is that we're starting our training, like, this early on. So, I'm really excited to bring season 2 to life.
We're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to Defenders. You're going to be downstairs signing just for a little bit.
Yeah, we need to fight.
Go downstairs. So. Big hand for Finn Jones and Jessica Henwick.
All right, bye. Thank you.
Iron Fist and The Defenders, ready and waiting for your binge watching on Netflix. Again, my thanks to Finn Jones and Jessica Henwick for meeting and greeting the fans at Trivicon and for chatting with me about their adventures in the Marvel Universe. And with that, I bring my adventure at Trivicon to a close for yet another year. Big thanks to the main man at Trivicon, Mitch Halleck. As you heard on these three episodes, Mitch and his Trivicon team, they put on an incredible event each and every year. It is my pleasure to take Comic Book Central on the road to Connecticut to join in on the fun. Trivicon.com, that's where you go to get the latest on next year's event. Mitch is already hard at work planning Trivicon 2018. You do not want to miss it. So check it out. As always, it will be terrific. And while you're online, be sure to stop by comicbookcentral.net. That is where you're going to find each and every episode of the show in the archive. There's also a link at the website to subscribe to the show in iTunes. Click that, subscribe to the show. Leave a review if you're there, if you're digging what you're hearing. You're going to get every episode that way. You're not going to miss anything. Check out those past Trivicon Q&As if you haven't already. Good stuff there as well. Like the show on Facebook, facebook.com/comicbookcentralnetwork. Don't forget the network. There's also an icon on the website to click and make sure you get there. Follow the show on Twitter @comicbookctrl. And don't forget to share the lair on social media. Get the word out about the show. And I want to hear from you. Be sure to drop me a line. Let me know what's on your mind. joe@comicbookcentral.net, or you can click the Signal Me tab on the website, or you can record a voicemail message at the website. That's all the time I have for today. You got a bonus episode of the show this week, so that should keep everybody busy out there. But fear not, a new episode is right around the corner, because next week on Comic Book Central, he fought alongside Wonder Woman in the blockbuster film this summer. Next week, Eugene Braverock, he's going to be right here in the lair to talk about that adventure with Wonder Woman. He plays the awesome new character, Chief Knoppy, in the flick. And he's going to drop some surprisingly secret tidbits about those scenes he shared with Gal Gadot. It's the Wonder Woman interview you do not want to miss. Eugene Braverock, he will be here. I'll be here. You'll be here. We're all going to have a wonderful time. Until then, keep your chi aligned, keep reading those comics, and thanks for joining me here in the lair. Comic Book Central, where comic books come to life. This podcast is intended for entertainment and education purposes only. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Comic Book Central and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivations 3.0 imported license. All other content and names are registered trademarks and copyrights of the respective holders.
Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones.
Good morning, nice to see you.
Can we pick up the whip? Because everybody down here has had a chance to see you actually deployed, as we know.
Yeah.
What can you teach us about this action?
What can I teach you?
Mm-hmm.
To get the heck out of the way. No, not yourself.
Oh, okay.
You know, the deal is to get out of the way of your own...
Of your own action
your
on
own
the
whip.
Okay.
And there's not quite enough room here for what...
I don't want to seem so surprised that you do this, but you really do this.
Well, I was a bit out of practice, and fortunately we had Anthony. Here, go ahead.
So the secret is to crack it?
No, the secret is to let it, let me do this, to just let it get behind, make sure it's behind you, and then to bring it smoothly forward. Without any, the ideal thing would be to be able to flip it back, let it come to its full extension, and then bring it forward. But if you just start out with it behind you here, I'll go right over here.
Okay, so I don't have to crack it. I've never done this before.
Well, yeah, you want to go full extension and then stop your hand. How's that?
Oh, are you all right?
Huh?
Did I hit you?
No, I'm fine. Oh. No, you didn't whip me. Did I whip you? No.
All right.
Yeah, I think you're not quite close enough. There.
Yeah.
Okay.
It looks so easy. All right.
It's harder than it seems.
It is.
Isn't it?